Well, let's just get this show on the road. Just watch out for the other cars. It's the news, according to me. Yeah. I'm going to jam out to the music here a little bit this morning. Doing the old headbang thing. Come on. Now, sure don't hit my head on the microphone. It is 8:41 a.m. Tuesday morning, November 29th, 2022. For those of you who are keeping track, we have, yesterday was no, I don't know if any of you noticed or not. Yesterday there was no show. I was a no show yesterday. The show went on, but without me. There was a show, but there wasn't anything. I wasn't there. So therefore there wasn't a show. Because I wasn't there. That's how that works. The show pretty much revolves around me because, after all, it's right there in the title, the news according to me, and I am me. I'm not anybody else. I'm not a they. There's not more than one of me. Just by what you might have heard. I have, this morning, this is the show, by the way, that I tell you what I think about the news. Among other things. Sometimes I tell stories. Sometimes I just blather on for hours about nothing. And people kind of just keep waiting, listening, waiting for something to happen. And nothing happens. And then they walk away feeling like they need that hour of their life back. It's quite a concept. It's an interesting phenomena. That's what's happening. I have something in my cup here this morning, which is pretty important. It's different, a little different than normal. Most of the regular listeners here are going to think that I just have chai all the time. Well, I had my chai already, but I'm drinking apple cider this morning. It's a nice November, December winterish drink if you heat it up. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had hot apple cider. This is cold apple cider. I don't care for hot apple. Typically, when people heat up apple cider, I don't know what it is, why they feel like they have to put spices in it. If you like apple cider cold, do you put spices in cold apple cider? I don't. But when they heat it up for some reason, all of a sudden it has to have spice in it, or it's not exactly sure what that's all about. So I have a cup full of apple cider here. It's cold. I have no hot drink with me this morning, which is kind of interesting because I was traveling again yesterday. I actually traveled. Sunday. I left Sunday morning fairly early just to get to St. Louis, and came back last night around 9 o'clock. I ended up flying out of South Bend. I would have been gone less time if I'd have driven. I could have left later in the day on Sunday and been back earlier on Monday. However, I did not anticipate the flight being late from Chicago to South Bend, and I didn't anticipate the length of time it took me to get to St. Louis. I just wasn't sure. You never know. Traffic, the flights didn't seem that full. There was actually some seats open on every flight I had, which I was not expecting, especially to and from South Bend. I figured there would be a lot of college traffic coming back and forth, and there was coming into South Bend last night. However, of course, there was still one more flight after the flight I took, but the plane waited for about 10 people. We actually waited almost over a half an hour past departure time for these 10 people. And 10 of them didn't show up. There was only about 7 or 8 people. We still had empty seats. I actually had a row to myself. So I don't know what was going on there, but it was a lot of standbys. Of course, that's usually employees, kids, and people flying standby just because it's cheaper. So it's interesting. It's an interesting take the way the media put it out there. I don't know. I think people may have been driving more than flying this time. I don't know. Sometimes flying is cheaper than driving. And my wife was just looking at some tickets to go to get away from me for a while because she, you know, needs a break. So she's going to take off and go somewhere and in a couple months. And she was looking at prices to go back and forth to different places. And I know for sure that if she drove to her destination, she would end up spending more money just in gas and probably have to get a hotel along the way. Take more time, take, you know, more than a day. And it's just a long weekend deal. So it would be ridiculous for her to drive. And expense-wise, I don't think, you know, it may cost about the same or maybe $50 more probably to drive, to fly than it did to drive. And at that point, why not spend the $50? And I doubt if it would even be, I bet it would be close. Probably closer than that, maybe more. I don't know. Now, if you have four people and you're sharing the expenses of driving, and then it starts really reducing the price at that point. Now you're talking, you know, more efficient. But if time is an issue, there's no question. Now, having said all that, I am back, and I should be back the rest of the week. I haven't heard anything about, there's a possibility I might have to do a little traveling adventure Thursday, Friday. However, I don't believe that's going to be the case. It looks like I think those plans are going to fall apart, which I'm not all that upset about. In fact, I'm looking right now at my schedule here, see what I can find. And it looks like they have not... that's going to make me sign in again, I guess. Huh? Okay, well, I'll do that. Let's just see what it is. Nothing there, nothing there, nothing there. Yeah. So it looks like I probably will be home until through the rest of the week, which means there'll be a show every morning. That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting at. Every morning the rest of this week, there should be a show every morning. Now, I don't know how early the shows will be. Hopefully the shows will be a little bit earlier than the one today. I was hoping to get things going a little bit earlier today. Morning dynamics around here sometimes can be a little awkward. So I have to kind of, there's a mosquito for some reason. How did a mosquito get in here? It's almost December. So it's supposed to get up to almost 50 degrees. I think, what is the high supposed to be today? Let's just check on this. Well, while we're at it, let's just check the weather. It looks like weather is supposed to be high of, 54 today. Chance of rain, though, however. So this is kind of unusual for this time of year. However, it's not unheard of. I remember a Christmas time we went on a trip one time to Illinois as a family. And as we were traveling, I remember leaving, it was about this time of year. I think it was actually first part of December, maybe it was even further into December. And the weather for several days was up into the 60s and was raining. So it's not unheard of. This was back in the 80s. I'm sure there's been that kind of weather before. I just distinctly remember that because it was a trip that our family took. I just remember how that went. Anyway, on to the news. The reason you tuned in for this show. The news, according to me. We have... a lot going on in China right now. There's the China stuff. There's the Trump stuff. There's always the Trump stuff because the news media, you know, just that's their bread and butter. He has made them so much money. And he knows it. He's fully aware that they, like leeches, make money off of everything he does and says. So there's this whole thing with Ye West and this other guy, whatever it was, showed up for this dinner. And then you got Mike Pence, who's making some comments about Trump. And then you also have you have the stuff in China. You have a lot of other issues going on right now with, you know, the the House, Kevin McCarthy, all the stuff that's happening right there. We could talk about that a little bit. The big thing I want to talk about is China. There's also this thing with Arizona, with the election, with the gubernatorial election. I don't know exactly. I'm understanding now that they finally have, Maricopa County has finally decided to certify the election. I guess there were some anomalies. But now I heard this morning, I heard a report that they still haven't, it was a 2-2 vote, and it was one person who retracted from the vote. So there, it was supposed to be five people voting on whether they would certify it, but I don't know how exactly how this works, whether there's somebody else that steps in and decides that, is it like a tiebreaker person? I don't know what happened there. But I heard, I also saw a headline where that said they certified the vote, that Maricopa County certified their votes. I don't know if there's any other counties outstanding or not, but that was the biggest county there. I believe that's the Phoenix area, Maricopa. I don't know. I have no idea what the counties are laid out like. I just know that's a very popular county, apparently very populous county. Anyway, so there's these issues. Now, let's talk about China for a minute. The protests that are happening there pale in comparison, actually, to what the protests that are going on in Brazil, which we haven't even heard about in the news media. People in Brazil are going nuts over the issues that are happening with, I guess they've elected or supposedly elected somebody who's, or somebody's committed crime. I don't know what's going on there. There's protests right now like crazy. It's into the tens of millions of people, they're saying. It started off very small, and it's become this huge protest thing happening. Now, the media is only going to, you know, the AP kind of governs the AP is like this Associated Press is where they have like a conglomeration or a collage, a pool of journalists will post things, stories on the AP, and of course the AP then publishes those things, passes them along to, it's like a wire, it's almost like a bulletin board where everyone posts stories and then people can pick up these stories off of the AP. The problem is the AP has become an organization in and of itself that that puts censorship on some things. It's not just a public forum that anybody can post on. It is regulated by a group of select individuals. Now, this is not a conspiracy theory or anything like that. This is an actual thing. It is regulated in terms of what stories get out there. And, of course, what stories people pick up. You also have the Twitter issues. There's Twitter issues now. Apple's threatening to dump Twitter app. I think it'd be a big mistake on Apple's part. It's stupid for one thing. The reasoning behind it is absolutely ridiculous, and it just shows this is like this whole thing with Melissa Morano or Alyssa Morano, whatever her name is, who thinks she's all important. I don't know what her. Some of these people are just. She's absolutely deranged. Some people think that they're very important, apparently. If they haven't been on this show, they're not important. Speaking of which, there's a fellow who is important who's going to be on this show soon, hopefully. Maybe this week. I have to get in touch with him, see if he's important enough to show up on my show. So the China thing that's going on. It's very interesting because we're not used to seeing this kind of thing. It's been, like they're saying, Tiananmen Square was... I watched that whole thing as a kid, the whole Tiananmen Square thing. I remember very well the first day that we saw the guy standing out there in front of the tank, putting flowers in the end of a tank, and standing in the way and telling them, this is the people's army. You're not going to shoot the people. Well, they ended up killing some people. The CCP. Is a very dangerous and I would say deadly organization. Not everyone in China agrees with the CCP, but boy, by golly, you better not get caught disagreeing or dissenting. This is They are one step ahead of, well, maybe two steps ahead of us in this country with regard to censorship, dictatorship, social control of your life. Collectivism is what it is. Now, what you're seeing is in the process of all this censorship that's happening there, they have social scores, folks. They literally, much like what happened in Canada recently, in fact, I think Stephen Crowder just had a little show, I think it was yesterday, showing the differences between who's doing communism better. Is Canada doing communism better, or is, and really it should be called collectivism, or is the CCP in China doing collectivism better? And he makes some very stark, startling, and scary comparisons between the two. This idea that, oh, we have freedom in this country, we have to protect your freedoms, so you must comply to our way of thinking and our way of speaking. Corrine, I don't know where to begin with that. When you see her responding to questions, especially tough questions, it turns my stomach. She reads comments back, and she's trying to talk like she's just saying it off the cuff. And again, she doesn't say and ah as much as Jen Psaki did when she was the press secretary. But old circle back. She would say about her. Now watch Psaki as she now has a job, I think, on MSNBC as a commentator or as a contributor. And she watch what she does on there when she talks. She has no problem getting her voice out or her statements out without saying and ah all the time. And ah were her two, like if you counted those number of words that she used, whatever they are, adverbs, more than any other word ever that she spoke. She would throw an in there in the middle of a sentence where it didn't even, like, where it wasn't a normal pause. Corrine at least does a normal pause when she says the and thing, typically. She still throws an abnormally large number of those in there. This is when people are trying to, like I just did, think, give themselves a moment to think or to try to come up with a word. However, in their case, it is to paint a story or to, is it a pejorative? It's just, when they're trying to paint an abstract or a something that they don't even really believe in, they're just trying to come up with something on the fly, much like most of my show is. Now, the difference here is that I'm kind of speaking from the heart the whole time. I'm not reading a script. I'm just speaking it out. And it sounds a little bit more natural. Whereas when someone's trying to read something from a book that they were told to respond a certain way to, or that they came up with this way to respond to, okay, so the president said this and he did that, so I know I'm going to come up with these defenses for the president on this one. So I got to come up with, I got to figure out how to spin this now. So they'll write something down and how they're going to respond to it. And usually it's a statement that has no statement. There's no statement involved. It's just, there's nothing there. It's just word salad, as they say. So China is breaking out in this. They have this zero tolerance for COVID policy thing. Now, Omicron is almost impossible to stop. They're just not going to stop this. They are getting absolutely violent. Now, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Tucker. It might have been somebody else. I can't remember who it was. They're talking about how what you're seeing in China right now is the end result of gun control. If the people in China were allowed to have a Second Amendment, if they were allowed to have weapons uninfringed, guess what? The CCP would, it would be a major civil war right now. Jerry Nadler made a very interesting comment the other day when Chip Roy was talking about how he likes to take his family out. They go out, they like to shoot guns. They go out into the, to, there's like a park that they go to that is a, like a desert type place, and there's a shooting range there, and they like to go out and shoot, and they take their guns, and they but the reason that they have guns is not because, you know, he likes to teach his children, explain to his children that the reason they have guns is not just for sport, it's not just for hunting, is to protect themselves from tyranny. Jerry Nadler comes up with a statement. All of a sudden, Jerry Nadler draws this line to, so you think you're going to take fight against the military, the U.S. military? And he's trying to pit him against the military. I've heard people in the military bristle about this and say, oh, you're going to take us on? No, that's not the point of this whole thing. The point isn't to go after the military. The question is the military going to obey orders when they're told to come against us? But I'll guarantee you, absolutely, if the military is used and abused into coming after the people, into taking away our rights, yeah, we'll turn our guns in. I'll give you my bullets first. That's some serious words coming from military people. Now, the vast majority of the military does not feel that way. They realize that they're made up, you know, the military is made up of our relatives, our family, people that we know. We wouldn't think of attacking the military. Not because they can, we know that they can overwhelmingly defeat us. That's where they draw the line. They connect this dot all the time. Joe Biden did this. Well, you know, you want to go up against, you know, the U.S. government. Biden said, I think I need some more caffeine. I think that's my statement, not his. He said, you're going to have an F-15. What do you mean? Are you going to SIG the? What do you think? You can just tell these military people to come after us, the people? We're trying to defend our rights against the bureaucrats, not the military. If anything, I think they better be afraid of the military, because at some point, of course, they keep themselves insulated with certain bureaucrats, people like Milley, who's a left-wing hack. There's no understanding. These people who take an oath, and swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, not to uphold and defend a politician, be it Trump or anybody else. They don't swear an oath of allegiance to them. This is the difference between a constitutional representative republic that is based on individual rights and individual sovereignty. I've always made this statement. I used to put this on the bottom of every email I would send out. The statement is this: a truly sovereign nation is a nation made up of truly sovereign individuals. That is, I don't know of anyone else who has ever said that in that way. As far as I know, that's my own original quote of myself. It was a revelation that kind of came to me throughout, I think it was the 2008 elections, I believe. It might have been 2004. It was one of the last times that Ron Paul ran. He ran once as an independent, as in the Libertarian Party. He didn't get along with the Libertarian Party very well because he's a conservative libertarian, and there's a very big difference between a conservative libertarian and a libertarian. Libertarian Party itself, I don't agree with very much of what they propose, what they put out there. It is a very different. Libertarians in general have a tendency to be the people who just are kind of just have just there's a such a huge spectrum of different ideas. Libertarian Party itself, I appreciate them because they actually allow for a lot of diversity within thought, diversity of thought and ideas. However, there are some things that I can't go along with, and when they make those things their platform, I can't agree with it. However, the whole idea, if I can retain my train of thought here, is that we are a nation that is based on individual rights. And when the powers that be, now Jerry Nadler came out against this senator and said, he said, so you're telling me you'd go up against the military? And of course, they shifted the conversation and he didn't address. I would have slapped back at him very quickly and said, are you going to send the military after me? Is that your plan? I had no plans of going against the military, but if you're going to do what the CCP does and crack down on the very people who are paying for the military, the taxpayers, our own military that's sworn to defend us from enemies foreign and domestic, all of a sudden you're going to make me out to be the enemy. Absolutely, I'm going to defend myself. And I know how it's going to turn out, but that's the way it's going to be. It's not going to feel good. There's been a lot of statements made, things like, I would rather die on my feet as a free man than on my knees in a ditch as a slave. And it's not just about me and my freedom. If we don't, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about it, I think it was on Friday afternoon. It was after I already did my show on Friday. I think I did a show Friday morning. It was in the afternoon later that day, and I was thinking, you know, if someone comes after me and points a gun in my face, or they attempt to rob me, or worse, kill me, whatever it is, to shoot me. Someone points a gun at me and threatens me. Chances are, it's not going to be their last time. If I just give in to it and give them my wallet, or let them have their way, chances are it's not going to be the last time they do it. Now, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe they're going to have this come to Jesus moment, literally, and they're not going to do it again. I don't know. But one thing is for sure. Even if it kills me, I feel like I have a duty to stop them because I don't want them to do it to someone else after me. It's got to stop here. The line's got to be drawn right here with my life laid down for the next person that person would have tried to go after. I was talking to somebody from New York the other day, and yesterday, in fact, talking about the gun laws now in New York and how ridiculous it is. Now, this guy was a military serviceman, served in the military. His brother is a police officer in New York. And he was talking about another police officer that was in New York, apparently that had an off-duty cop, had rented a car, and was doing whatever he was doing. He returned the car, and then he realized later that he had accidentally left his service revolver under the seat in his car. In the car that he returned, and when he realized that, he called him back and told him right away. And I think the people who cleaned the car had just found it and reported it. And of course, that's how it actually got into the federal system. Otherwise, it wouldn't have, or the state system. Otherwise, nobody would have known. Probably, he went and upon his trip to retrieve it, the police were there meeting him, and they actually charged him with a misdemeanor. You can, with a carry permit in New York, you can go out and you can take your weapon, you can keep your concealed weapon with you. You can open carry anywhere on public property as long as you don't step foot on any kind of business property. The governor basically has made it almost impossible to exercise your right to carry, even with a permit. Because you can't leave it in your car. That's a misdemeanor. You can't leave your sidearm in a car and walk into a store. Because now that's a misdemeanor. You've left your weapon unattended. You can't walk into the store unless you've been invited into the store and told that it's like sidearms are welcome here, specifically. I think the way the law is written, it sounds like it's specific to each individual. It's not just But you can drive around with. Now you can't. I don't even believe you can walk around. How is it? I'm not sure exactly what the rule was about having one in your house. I can't. You can't have one in your home if you have children under a certain age. It has to be kept locked up, I believe, or something that ridiculous. And every gun that you own has to be registered with the state, and they actually print it out on the back of your license, your permit to carry. It's actually printed out on the back of your license, every gun and the serial number of every gun that you own. And if you commit a crime, they can confiscate all those weapons, and you have to turn them all in, and because they have record of them. They want to see every single serial number on their desk within so many hours, or they'll come and get them. There was recently a woman who was shot, and we've heard about this, and it's been in national news. She was wearing a bulletproof vest. When she left to pick up her children, she told her mother, "He's going to kill me." This is the guy who was arrested for beating her up. He beat her up, but didn't put her in the hospital. He beat her up severely. She didn't have to go to the hospital. It would have been a different rule if he would have put her in the hospital, but it was a misdemeanor for him to beat her up. So it was a misdemeanor. He didn't. They filed a protection order, or a restraining order. She was in the process of filing a restraining order. She couldn't carry. She wouldn't allow her to have a gun, of course. And if she would have went out to buy one, there's like a ridiculous waiting period for it. Now, that didn't stop the estranged husband from finding a shotgun. She was wearing a bulletproof vest, which actually is also a misdemeanor in the state of New York. It's not allowed. You can't wear a bulletproof vest. Now, it used to be, I guess in the state of New York, you couldn't wear one. If you were wearing a bulletproof vest in the commission of a crime, which doesn't even really make sense either, but if you think about it, but if you're wearing a bulletproof vest in the commission of a crime, that was also, added to your sentence. But now it's just wearing a bulletproof vest in general. But the general public cannot wear a bulletproof vest. Because, if the police want to shoot you, they have to be able to kill you. That's not what a bullet. If I was wearing a bulletproof vest, it wouldn't be protecting me from the police necessarily. It would be protecting me unless I'm committing a crime. I mean, that happens occasionally. But really, the reason for wearing it is to protect myself from the criminals. But I digress. The thing that was happening here, she wore this bulletproof vest. The guy still was able to, he ended up killing her. And unfortunately, he would have been in jail. And I believe now even he's not even. This other fellow I was talking to that was there talking to each of us, he said his brother is in jail, was put in jail for 29 years for just committing a robbery that wasn't even, it was like a break-in of a business. Well, he didn't even do it by himself. He broke in to an after-hours business and got some money and got some whatever he got out of it, whatever. And him and a couple other guys, and got 29 years in prison. And yet there are people walking the streets today who have murdered people. In fact, JetBlue, who will not allow people to work for them as a pilot or work for them in their company, unless they've been vaccinated, just hired a pilot who had committed a violent federal crime. How does that happen? Well, maybe as long as he's wearing his mask, he's got his vaccine. Got to hire the guy. They've completely flipped this thing on their head where the victim is not even talked about anymore. It's all about protecting the criminal from those evil police. It is upside down, folks. Because, and Corrine just recently came out and talked about this whole thing with Twitter and talked about this. Well, you know, we have to protect people from misinformation and hate speech. Well, I'm sorry. First Amendment does not distinguish. Freedom of speech is freedom of speech. Well, but don't have the right to, fire in a crowded theater. Oh, yes, you do have a right to do that. But if there's any damage or anything that happens, I dare you. Go to a theater and try to yell that out once and see if you go to prison for it. Now, I guarantee you, if anyone is harmed or if the theater wants to sue you because everybody left and then they all complained, and there might be a local ordinance against it. The law itself does not say that. Now, don't go out and do it just to find out. Disclaimer, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a life coach. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a lot of things. I'm just a guy with a microphone. It's all hyperbole. Unlike Adam Schiff, I want to make sure that I explain that to you. So we have this issue with First Amendment speech. Free speech. Well, it's only free if you agree with us. It's only free if you follow the narrative, the science. Well, the science one day was a science, different science the next day. They're talking lockdowns and masks again because the Rona is out there, even though it's become less deadly than the flu ever was. COVID is out there, sure. It's making people sick. It's almost become as common as the cold now. And it's not a whole lot more volatile now than it was. However, now we're discovering, and this is where I was afraid it would happen, where I was afraid it would go. And I almost hate to be right about this. I like being right, but I hate to be right about this. It seems, and that the studies that are out there, who's the guy who invented the mRNA technology? He was banned from, of course, his opinions were banned from social media. mRNA technology inventor. Yeah, let's see if we can find his name here real quick. Yeah, it's Chris Breiner, Breyer. He did not. Yeah, it was this other guy, Dr. somebody, Dr. Malone, Robert Malone. He created mRNA vaccine technology. Now, he's not the one who invented the vaccine for COVID. He is the inventor of mRNA technology. technology, vaccine technology. He came out right away at the very beginning. Now, he was vaccinated. But he also came out right away and said he had some concerns about the way the vaccine was actually working. And then he said he had a really hard time with anybody under the age of 20 being vaccinated. And he has a really hard time with this continued booster thing going on. Now, I personally think that there's probably a combination of things happening. However, it would seem more and more, and now they're saying, I think it's 3 to 4 times more likely. If you've been completely vaxxed, boosted, which is just more vaccine, supposedly they've changed the vaccine somewhat now. Of course, that's not approved either. They're still doing clinical studies. There's so much paperwork that was misleading, and the legalities of this thing go way off the charts. It's not even close to being what it should have been in terms of the research that was done prior to instituting this thing. Now, here's the problem. It's the VAERS in reporting system, which reports on incidents of COVID, adverse incidents, I think is only available for 90 days. I believe it might be 6 months, but I think it's 90 days after having the vaccine. The problem is they're finding that it's 6 months to a year after the vaccines that people start having problems. We're seeing more and more of this sudden death thing happening. And then the coroners that are the embalmers that are having issues with what they're finding in people's blood. Here's my concern, that the immunity of a person, and this is showing up in the statistics. In fact, John Campbell, who he's become very popular on YouTube, simply because all he does is report numbers. And he's been very much a big proponent of vaccinations and how, you know, it's keeping he was almost happy about the fact that, you know, vaccines are working and they're keeping the what's happening with the strains. He talks about all the, I think it's an NA5 now or whatever it is, or whatever's out there now. And he's always been up on all the latest things that are happening with it, including any adverse things and that kind of thing that were happening. And he now has become, because of what is happening with the statistics and everything that have been reports, and he actually reads the studies that are put out now on these things that the news aren't reporting on. He has access to all the journals and all the things that are published right now, both pre and post peer review. And you can tell he got censored at one point because he actually spoke a little too strongly at one point about something. And now, you can tell in the tone of his voice when he talks about something, and you can see his disdain, you can hear his disdain in his voice when it comes to talking about the honesty of the CDC in this country, as well as the World Health Organization. He's very, very disgusted. Because what they're saying and what the numbers are saying are very different. Now, I can't remember who it was. It was Roman Bomakov of Facts Matter. He's a part of Epoch Times. Was interviewing, did an excellent interview. In fact, I should probably download it. I should probably record it myself so it doesn't get wiped off the internet. He did a very good interview with a fellow who was a specialist and like one of the top leading guys in the world on myocarditis and something else. He's very, very well known and renowned worldwide expert. And laid out the numbers very well, and the way that the CDC kind of has twisted the numbers and has drawn some very good points about what's happening. And the problem is right now that in reality, most of the people who are getting COVID now are actually people who've been vaccinated, which is ironic. Now, there was a time when the vaccines seemed to be protecting people from serious adverse conditions, now, or adverse reactions to the virus. However, this may have a twofold effect, and it may be that while it protected you in the short term, it may actually be bringing more damage to your body over the long term. Now that the virus has, I think people who've gotten the first shots, made it through that, and the first two or whatever, that's where it ends. And in fact, Dr. Malone would agree with that. He would say that, I think his recommendation was no more boosters. Where the stage of the virus right now wouldn't make any sense for people to continue to take boosters, because now it's actually going to do more detrimental harm. It got us through this time, but now it's more boosters are only going to create more cytotoxicity, which is going to cause more issues with your body's own immune system. And that I think he knows what he's talking about with this. I don't know what he's talking about, but I think he knows, and I think he's right. And what we're seeing with the younger population is that the benefits do not outweigh the risks of this thing for younger people, young healthy people under the age of 20 especially. Most of the strange sudden deaths seem to be between people in people from 30, I believe it's 39 to 55. However, it might be even younger than that, I believe. There's a large number of individuals in that category. And in fact, a lot of younger, they claim, I guess, that this one of the studies say that soon after taking the vaccine, if you are a strenuous athlete, you shouldn't do anything strenuous for 3 months after you take the vaccine. This is where some of the problems are coming. Now, this would explain why some of the athletes that they're showing, just dropping dead. The soccer players over in Europe were just dropping like flies. I don't know if any of you saw this. This one lady who was a comedian who came out and talked about, she was mocking the people who didn't want to get the vaccine, and she was out there on stage saying that she got the vaccine and she's not one of these crazy people who didn't. And then she fell down flat on the floor right after saying it. And everybody thought it was part of the gag. It was timed so ironically that everyone thought it was part of the gig. I don't believe she died. I can't remember if she actually died or not. I don't think she did. I hope she didn't. But she actually passed out, had a reaction, like a heart attack type thing. She wasn't that old. It was creepy looking to see it happen. Now, China has decided that they are going to isolate themselves from this whole thing, which I think is a bigger problem, in my opinion. At this point, with Omicron being as benign as it is, now maybe they know something. Maybe they know that if it gets in their population, it could mutate again and become worse. I don't know. Maybe that's their concern. They're just trying to protect everybody from it. So they've actually isolated, my understanding is they've isolated Shanghai now. That's like 25 million people. They're welding people into homes. They're putting bars on people's homes. As we think of homes here, it's not like homes that they have there. It's more like apartment buildings and mass living quarters in cities over there, much like our big cities here. But this is the kind of thing that the leftists actually, this is where they want us to go. This is, the progressives are progressing towards that kind of society. They actually look to China. I mean, you can hear world leaders all over the place. Justin Trudeau and everybody else has said, well, I really admire China and the way they've handled this thing. Sometimes there's advantages to having a dictatorship like that. There's advantages to that. I was recently talking to somebody who was telling me a story about a school teacher that he had. And this school teacher had spent time in Vietnam and Laos, and I can't remember where else, but he was quite the veteran, became a school teacher after he got out of the war. He was teaching these kids, and he said, this is back in the 90s, back in the 80s, late 80s, 90s, this kid was going to school. And he said every day they would get up and say this, the Pledge of Allegiance over the speaker. Well, this guy would lead him over the speaker, and every class would have, I remember this when I was in grade school. We would stand up, say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they would say a prayer, public school. This teacher, he said, whenever I say the word communism, I want you to pound your hand on the desk and say, doesn't work. So he would say communism, and they would all pound their hand on the table and say, doesn't work. He said every class, they would do that at least once or twice. He remembers it to this day. Do you think that a teacher in a public school system could get away with that today? Maybe someplace out in Kansas or in Idaho or someplace like that. I don't think it's going to happen in a public school system in New York or Chicago. They would be fired immediately. Now, if a teacher said Black Lives and all the students slammed their hand on the desk and said Matter, they'd probably give him Teacher of the Year award. We have been taken over, folks. The society, the progressives have a very clear and concise mission ahead of them. In academia, especially. It's where young skulls full of mush are being shaped with radical idealism, Marxist ideals. It's happening every day. People are paying lots of money to be indoctrinated. Now, I think that the people in China have had this, you know, they have this reprogramming type things and all this stuff where you, if you go against the leadership, well, we're going to send you to a reprogramming camp. They don't call it that, of course, the re-education. So that you're well informed. Because you've received some misinformation. You need to be re-educated on what reality is. I don't even know how long I've been talking this morning. But again, it's just one of those days where I've got this rant thing going on. I think yesterday started it. Because we really were talking, about a lot of things with this fellow that I was talking to. And it was... let's say, very encouraging to spend time with a couple guys who really see things for the way they are and what's going on. Now, I don't know that they are spiritually on top of things at all. I have no idea. I have a suspicion of, just because I've been around enough religious people, I can usually kind of tell whether they are, I can almost tell the denomination that they come from just by the way they talk. And I believe the one fellow probably is Baptist. but I don't know that he's, you know, he's also not, you know, I'm not gonna judge where he's at, but he's a little rough around the edges. But a very, very disciplined individual. The other fellow was the fellow who had served in the military and was, comes from, I think, a good family. He's got a good background, traditionally kind of more of a conservative. And he probably does go to church someplace. I have the feeling it's probably more of a non-denominational type thing. That's all further I'll go with that. But this is, it tends to be those kinds of people who are a little bit more in touch with reality and the truth, not basing themselves on some kind of false virtue where I have to show my disdain for racism and hatred and hate speech and all this other stuff out there. I have to be the loudest one in the room about it, about how much I hate that. I hate hate speech, which makes me, you know, more virtuous than others around me. Because I have to overcome this white privilege, this white guilt. Even if it means changing history. As Michelle Obama said, we have to change our history, we have to change our traditions. Yeah, I don't think that's in the Bible anywhere. But I digress. I think that the this being the first show of the week, probably just kind of let me unload after not being able to really talk about things too much for the last few days. So tomorrow morning, I'm hoping to have a little bit more of a show put together as I can kind of catch up on the news. Yesterday was a day filled with just a lot of stress. In fact, Sunday and Monday were just pretty stressful. I think the next few days ahead of me are probably the next few weeks anyway. Should be a little bit more relaxed, and I'll have a time to actually listen to news and compile some clips of people saying some really stupid things. And I mean that. I don't use the word stupid flippantly. They're really stupid. Stupid is a stupid does, and these people are dozing a lot of stupid. So pray for the nation. Pray for each other. Thanks for listening to the show. Have a good rest of the week, folks. God bless. Take care.